What's up, Misfits? Welcome back to the Misfit Mindset Podcast. Today we have a little bit of a deeper topic, something that I'm not sure if I was ever really going to talk about or touch on, but I definitely think it's necessary and I've been feeling the Lord kind of press it on my heart. So before we continue, if you are somebody that is coming back to the Misfit Podcast because you're already part of the community, then just comment down below coming back or returning misfit. So I know who's in my family. I know who I can show that love to also. So today we're talking about why I no longer wear weave, specifically from all the experiences that I've had and the things that I've learned coming out of witchcraft and coming out of the occult. We're going to look at both the biblical perspective and also some like not really esoteric stuff, but looking at other kind of spirituality and what they say about the idea of wearing something that was previously sacrificed to another deity. I don't know how else to say it. So the topics that we're going to be talking about, or the things we're going to be covering, is number one, where does weave come from? Then some occult beliefs about items dedicated to deities or other powers. Then we're going to touch on what the Bible says about Christians and objects dedicated to deities, or in Christian terms, idols. Then some spiritual perspectives on the dangers of having items dedicated to deities that you do not serve. At the end, I also kind of want to touch on some things that you may be feeling or you may be seeing in yourself if in fact you're having a negative reaction, a spiritual negative reaction to having weave on your head, to having wigs, to having any types of extensions that were previously on someone else's head or grown by somebody else, okay? So again, I just want to make a disclaimer or just point something out. This video is going to be hard to watch. I know it's not going to be an easy one. I know there's going to be points where you just want to close the podcast or close the video, but I really, really, really want to challenge you to just sit through, to just listen, to just kind of have an open mind. And if you are a Christian, take the things that I'm saying back to God and He will tell you whether it's cap or not, whether it's true or whether it's false. Okay, but ideally my whole aim here is to protect you guys and is to open up your eyes to things that really aren't being spoken about in the church, but really should be. They really, really should be. Okay, so let's start off with the video that I want to play, and it just kind of explains where weave comes from. Okay, so let's just watch this clip together.
In this temple in southern India, thousands of devotees are preparing to make a rather unusual offering. Some of them have waited years for this moment, growing their hair before giving it to the gods. It is a sacred ritual for millions of Hindus.
My daughter was really sick. I vowed to donate my hair if she recovered.
Do you know what will happen to your hair?
No, I do not know, but it will be offered to the gods, and that's all that matters to me.
Every Saturday, thousands of pilgrims come to the Dwarka Tirumala temple to be shaved by one of the 95 barbers that work here. The pilgrims leave behind kilos of hair. The temple has turned the pilgrims' offerings into an incredibly lucrative business. Once cut, the hair is collected and then stored by the temple. It is then exported around the world to be used in wigs and hair extensions.
I don't know exactly what happens to the hair. The leaders of the temple take it and they sell it.
For how much?
Well, I know the temple makes about $1 million per year.
After it's collected at the temple, the hair is then transported to Ravindra Vanka's factory.
Mix the hair.
Okay, color is okay.
And separate the dark strands.
Every year, hundreds of tons of hair from several temples is treated here by the factory's 3,000 workers. The hair is washed, dried, and then sorted. The factory stocks hair of every kind, color, and form. For Ravindra Vanka, his products are a source of pride.
Okay. So I'm just going to pause it there. I'll have a link in the description for you to go watch the full clip and maybe some other clips that I find that may be interesting, but definitely do more of your own research. But yes, we have temples right now making close to a million or sometimes over a million dollars a year because of how much hair that is being sacrificed and offered to the deities in the temple, and then also sold off to people not only in the Black community but in other ethnicities to be worn for beauty and hair purposes and stuff like that. So that's the number one thing. If you did not know where weave comes from, then most times it is in fact temple hair. Hair that the person themselves has grown and has went to seek, right? Seek that deity for blessings. Sometimes people are ill, like I think was mentioned in the video. Sometimes they want their child to get into university. Sorry, I think I keep hitting the mic. Sometimes they want their child to get into university. Sometimes they want their marriage to be restored. Anything it is. And truly, after they go and do that, if you listen to their testimonials, which are also there on YouTube, then you'll see that in fact it does happen for them. They do get better. The child does get in fact better. The child does get into university. So it's not just they are cutting off their hair and giving it to somebody. There is an actual spiritual exchange that is happening that they are seeing benefits from. So this is kind of what we're exploring today. What does it mean for you to be someone who's purchasing something that was like collected from a spiritual exchange? It's not just a financial exchange where one person is benefiting. It is a spiritual exchange, okay? Now, also, when it comes to how hair is collected, although yes, we have this ethical way, there is also very unethical ways that hair is gotten from people. We have instances where people have been forcibly shaved for their hair. We have situations where people have gone up and cut women's hair in the streets in some of these countries to go and sell them for a profit. And then also, I'm just going to be reading a little bit here off the Daily Mail. It was an article here that's entitled, "Woman Suffers Terrible Headaches After She's Fitted with Human Hair Weave," right? So that's when they sew it into your head. "Taken from a corpse that was filled with flesh-eating maggots that burrowed into her skin." So you know that we have grave robbers. Well, not everybody knows, but there are grave robbers, right? There are people who go and loot grave sites to see if there's jewelry, to see if there's any possessions on them. But we also have people who go to the grave sites, to go to tombs and all this type of stuff, to shave the corpse, to take their hair off the corpse and to sell it for a profit. So let me just read for you a bit of what was written here. Cool. "A woman claimed to be plagued with blinding headaches after she was fitted with a human hair weave reportedly filled with flesh-eating maggots that burrowed into her head. Irene, a personal assistant in a law firm in Nairobi, Kenya, paid a salon for a hairpiece which doctors believe may have come from a corpse." Right. So I'm not going to read the rest of it, but that's basically the whole of it. And there's been multiple situations like this. You can go ahead and do your research. But it's not every instance where somebody gave up their hair willingly. Sometimes it has been chopped off. Sometimes it has been stolen. Sometimes it has been stolen from a dead person. Okay. You really have no way of knowing where this hair was gotten from, except for the fact that it was grown by another human being. Now, we've kind of spoken a little bit of that, but I just want to cover now some of the deities that they actually look for to give this hair to. Of course, there's multiple deities. Really, they can give it to any deity of their choice. I'm speaking more specifically Hindus in the Hindu temple, but just some of the gods here, and excuse me if you're watching this and you're Hindu and I butcher the pronunciation, but one here is Lord Venkateswara. Okay, hopefully I did that okay. And also known as Lord Balalji, excuse me. And these are different gods that can give things like that can give things like blessings, prosperity, health, fulfillment of desires. There's multiple other ones, but since I butchered that first one so badly, I'm just going to say do some research and find some other ones. But there's another goddess that they sacrifice their hair to that's also associated with fertility, desire, and feminine energy, and all of these types of things. Now, let's get into the occult beliefs about items dedicated to deities and powers. I think this is a very important part to touch on. I love to give you the Christian perspective, but the reason that I'm sharing this is because of all the things I found out on the other side. So I think, it may be robbery for me to not tell you. So one of the beliefs here is energy transfer. Okay, we're going to touch on energy transfer. So now, many occultists believe that when an object is sacrificed or dedicated to an idol or deity, there is an energetic transfer that takes place. And this transfer basically puts inside of the object the energy or the essence of the deity that it was sacrificed to. So for example, for me back in the day, I had situations where there's different makeup pieces or there's different hair pieces that I would ask to be blessed by Aphrodite, since she is a goddess of love and beauty and stuff like that. And if you know my testimony, then you know that actually that she came to me, right? And then that's when I began to learn more about her and different sacrifices that she actually likes, things I hadn't even known, but I heard spiritually at the time when I was practicing witchcraft. And when I went to do research, I found out, yeah, in fact, she does actually like specifically red wine, specifically chocolate, specifically things like strawberries, things that people actually today link with romance. Moving on here, I spoke about an energetic transfer that happens in the spiritual realm. Now, when it comes to some people who have also written about this, one very prominent occultist is Aleister Crowley. Now, as you know, he was part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, so into some of those circles. And of course, I'm not putting him on a pedestal because he did some terrible, terrible things. Well, I can say that because of my view on right and wrong. But of course, the deeper you get into some of these occultic circles, there is no right and wrong, right? There is no good, there's no evil, there's no black, there's no white. So some of the things that he was involved in were awful, but pretty much all of the things he was involved in was awful. So he, as a prominent occultist and a ceremonial magician, wrote extensively on ritual magic and the symbolic symbolic significance of sacrifices within occult practices, right? So in his seminal work, Magic and in Theory and Practice, he discussed the concept of a ritual sacrifice as a means of invoking or channeling spiritual forces. So what I'm really saying here is when you give something to a deity or when you offer it up, by just doing that, you are getting the deity's attention, and whatever force or power that it has is now invoked either into that space or into that object. So when you have people that say, oh, this is charmed, or this is a magical this, they're not saying that that item itself is powerful alone. They're saying whatever spirit has come upon that thing is making that thing powerful. And I'm just bringing this up because of the fact that we're talking about a piece of hair that has spiritual tie to it because of how it was sold, because of how it got to you. It got to you because of a sacrifice. So we can't just ignore that like nothing happened during the sacrificial process, because many different spiritualities understand that at that point of exchange, something was called, something was invoked, something was brought on, okay? Now in some other ancient texts, some other occultists draw inspiration from other religious texts like in Hindu mythology, There's a concept which refers to deities, which is believed to carry blessings and energy from the gods when you put something, when you give something to the gods, it will cause blessings or energy from that god to flow through that thing. And similarly, in ancient Greek and Roman religions, sacrificial offerings were made to appease gods and receive their favor, suggesting a belief in a transfer of energy between the material and divine realms. Of course, just pausing there, as Christians, we also believe in the idea of sacrifice invoking power, invoking the attention of God. That's Jesus, right? That's the whole basis, that all these years, the Jews were sacrificing sheep, they were sacrificing lambs and all these other types of stuff, but it was never enough. Then enter Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, the lamb that was slain, and his blood invokes the grace of God on our lives. So that same thing that I'm talking about, it's in every spirituality, that something is given, something is sacrificed, and in return, that deity does something or blesses something or is involved now in something. Now, what does the Bible say, since we're touching now on Christianity, what does the Bible say about Christians and objects dedicated to deities? So I'm just going to be touching on some verses and then expanding on them a little bit more. If you make notes, this is a perfect time to make notes. If you come to any of my live streams or my podcast, you know, grab a pen and a paper. You're going to need it. Deuteronomy 7:25-26 says, the images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. He is talking here about idols, right? Because you know that they were, how do I explain this? They had carved images, they had drawings of their gods and stuff like this. And surprisingly, there's different forms of Christians who do the same thing, like they have statues of Jesus or drawings. But we know that the Bible says not to do that. But anyway, here, the images of their gods you are to burn in fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, for you will be ensnared by it. For it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Regard it as vile and utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Now, I know everybody's going to be saying, not everybody, but most people will say, that's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. I will give you some New Testament verses that concur with what he's saying, with what the author is saying here. But the key point, the key takeaway here is right now he's talking about silver and gold, things that people love, things that people are interested in, things that actually have value to exchange and make one rich. And he is saying, I don't even care, right? These are things made by God. These are things that come out of the land that he created. The fact that at one point it was given or exchanged to anything to do with their gods, he is saying, burn it in the fire. I am not interested in it. Don't bring it. You, like it, will be destroyed. You, like it, will become detestable to the Lord. And he says here, if you keep it for yourself, you will be ensnared by it. You'll be ensnared by it. You'll be captured by it. It will make itself like so beautiful before your eyes, and you won't be able to let it go. So just remember that for where we're going. Next verse that we're looking at in the New Testament now is 1 Corinthians 10:14-22. Therefore, dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks? Why can I not read? Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. Who are many are one body, for we all share one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not they eat sacrifices? Do not those who eat sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I then mean that the food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that the idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and in the table of demons. Okay. Paul just said a lot right here. He just said a lot. And what he's basically saying here is, you want to keep yourself consecrated and holy before the Lord. And they have things that they are giving to their gods. There is no way for you to eat at God's table and believe that when you're eating communion, you're literally eating the body of Christ, and not think that when you're eating food sacrificed to another deity, that you are not also literally participating in a spiritual exchange there. He also explains here that when he says, when I say, is food sacrificed to idols anything? No, it's just demons. Again, I've kind of already spoken about this on Wumi's show, but the idea that when the Bible talks about other gods, it does not actually mean other gods in terms of equal to God. The word that he uses there is demon. In the Greek, daimon, meaning power. Something that has spiritual power, something that has spiritual rank, but is still underneath God. So that's why he says, even those idols that they give, those things that they call gods, those things are also demons. So do not sit at the table of demons and at the table of God. Now he's talking about food, right? He's talking about food that you eat and then you poop. It comes all the way out of you. But we have situations here with the weave, like I'm talking about, where you are continuously putting it on your head, knowing where it comes from. Some of you don't know, but now you know. Knowing where it comes from, knowing that it, in fact, like this food, was sacrificed to idols, and you put it on your head, and you go to church, and you worship the Lord. Something that he calls detestable, you are bringing before his presence and saying, bless me, see me, do this, do that, before God. Right? And you don't realize that these things indeed have consequences. And we'll talk about them, and it will surprise you how many of them you can actually find yourself in, if in fact you are a Christian. Because there's no way that you can tell me, oh, my spirit is 100% fine, I have no effects in what is happening. You will definitely feel some of these effects. All right, so now the next verse I kind of want to touch on here is Acts, right? Again, the New Testament for the people, for the that's Old Testament people in the back. Let's stick in the new a little bit. Now we have Acts 15:29. Now, just here in this situation, just to give you some background, these are the apostles having come together to have some discussions, because I believe some of the Jewish teachers who had been converted to Christianity were going around teaching that you have to be circumcised, right? So they were having a discussion about what should we do? What should we teach the Gentiles? Those who were previously idol worshippers, or as Paul says, demon worshippers, now coming to Christ. And when they come back, they say to each other that it is good, and the Holy Spirit finds it good, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you do well. Farewell. And that's how they ended it. That's their whole discussion. That at the end of the day, you don't have to go and do this, you don't have to do this, but at the very least, abstain from things offered to idols. Now, we have a situation right now where people have things offered to idols, weave, and they know this, and they will get it, and they'll say, oh, I'm just going to pray over it. I'm going to pray over it, and that old demon will leave. See, I'm even messing up my turban. The old demon will leave, and the Holy Spirit will bless it, and the Holy Spirit will cleanse it. Who lied to you? Who told you that that is how it works? Multiple times in the scripture, whether it's silver and gold, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whatever it is, God says, get rid of it. Don't ask me to bless it. Don't ask me to cleanse it. I'm not going to do it. It belongs to those people. They had the right to give it to their gods. I'm not going to come over and take it over. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, next time you can just speak. You don't have to. Yeah, just say it, James. Yeah, so yes, actually, as James is saying, the situation with King Saul, right, the one that God chose, the whole reason why Saul ended up losing the favor of God, because remember it says that in the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and Saul knew it not. His whole issue is that God told him, when you go into this land, get rid of everything, every single thing. And you know what he did? He went into the land and he kept some things alive. He took some things for himself. He decided, oh, well, this is too valuable. Oh, how could I get rid of this? Oh, how could I get rid of that? And it was an issue. God did not forgive that. God didn't think, oh, you know what? You're right. Like, what? Let me not be wasteful as God. No, the Spirit of the Lord left him. Okay. Now, I think at this point, I can already hear some people in the back saying, but my prophetess in my church wears weave, but the first lady of the ministry wears weave, but the this, but the that wears weave. So what's the issue? They can still prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord has not left them. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't mean to say it like that. But let me tell you something that will shock you. In Matthew 7, what does Jesus say? Let's even go all the way down there because I know it's in my notes. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, for those of you who take notes, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is he saying there? I can already see the person in the corner here saying, amen. What is he saying there? Many people, many pastors, many prophets, many all of this today, they are doing it. They are preaching. They are prophesying. They are healing in Jesus' name. But in the eyes of the Lord, they are still practicing lawlessness. Now, when we say lawlessness, are we saying that the law that was spoken about in the Old Testament? No, that's not the law, because we know that Christ already came to fulfill that law. But when he's talking about lawlessness here, if you go to the original language, what he's talking about is people that do what they want, when they want, how they want. They do not think about the way that things will affect the Lord. They do not think about his standards for life. They work in the field of God, they preach the message according to the Bible, but then they go away to do exactly what they want. Now, as we know from the scripture, if you pray in Jesus' name for someone to be healed, they will be healed. In Acts 3, we spoke about, for those of you who came to the live, but in Acts 3, there's this point where the apostle Peter, having healed someone, says to the people that were looking at him amazed, like, oh my gosh, Peter can heal. He says, why are you looking amazed at me as though my holiness or my power healed this man? It was faith in Jesus' name and in Jesus' name alone. So people who are looking at these prophetesses, these prophets, these men of God, these evangelists, and seeing, quote unquote, yes, who are seeing them do amazing things and saying, oh, he's so righteous, or he's so holy, or he's God's favorite. No, he's saying it in Jesus' name, and the Lord is listening to Jesus' name. The Lord's not looking at his righteousness or his holiness, but you are thinking you're putting those two things together, like the Bible said that they ever sit in the same camp. They don't. So when I'm talking to you guys, and I'm explaining the fact that these things have real spiritual repercussions that I've seen on both sides, and that occultists know, if this is not my God, if this is not my deity that I work with, I will not have anything of them in my house, because there's repercussions. That's not the deity that I serve. And I'll explain to you some of those repercussions. Why are Christians with a God who says, I am a jealous God? I am a jealous God. you will feel the repercussions, whether you know it or you don't know it. But let's go on. Occult perspectives on the dangers, right? And remember, when I say occult, I don't mean necessarily like occult just means secret knowledge or hidden knowledge or things that you really have to go into to study about spirituality. So that's what I mean when I say that. But really, I can swap that out with spiritual perspectives on the dangers of having items dedicated to deities that you do not serve. Number one, negative spiritual influence. So many occultists or people in the occult believe that objects dedicated to specific gods or deities carry spiritual energy or influence associated to those entities. Possessing such items without proper understanding or respect for that deity that they are dedicated to may invite unwanted spiritual energies into one's life. Now, we've all heard a story or two about somebody who was given something by someone and then things started going crazy in their lives. Oh, don't take gifts from just anybody. Don't allow anybody just in your home. All of these conversations that everybody's fully aware of, conversations that everybody fully understands, but when it comes to the beauty realm, we want to act ignorant, like we don't know that there's actual consequences to these things. Many times I can ask a Christian woman, if I gifted you an altar and said, please put this in your home, it's so beautiful, right? Even if I use marble, right? I use expensive material, Italian finest, finest of the finest. And I said, put this in your home, this is worth a lot of money. They would say, absolutely not. Like, get rid of this. But when it's something for your own vanity, something that you think will increase your social value because you look pretty or that society will accept you more, your standards for spirituality go out the door. Your conscience all of a sudden forsakes you. And this is why the scripture says, get rid of it, because it will ensnare you. It will trap you. It will quite literally lure you in. That's why you don't play with it. You have a little bit of weave, you try it on, you're like, oh my God, this looks so good. Let me try it curled. Oh, let me try it blonde. Oh, let me try it red. Let me try it black, middle cut, bust down, 32 inches. All of that, you will be trapped and ensnared by it. Now, sticking on negative spiritual influence. How do you know that this is in your life, right? How will you know? So it can manifest as feelings of unease, spiritual disturbance, or even negative influence on one's thoughts and emotions. So for people who, as a child, you never really dealt with this, but as an adult, you have extreme mood swings. And you think that, oh my gosh, I'm PMSing. Oh, my period's coming. I have this issue, I have that issue. I need to rejig my hormones. I need to take more sleep. I need to do all these things. No, you're having a literal spiritual reaction to the fact that you have a spiritually dedicated object on your head. When you are praying, you are struggling to focus on prayer because the deity on your head is like, but you're not talking to me. Like, what's going on here? One thing that I had, but I never really paid attention to, is when I was 17, I should have listened to her, to be honest. My auntie had this rule at her wedding about no human hair at my wedding. Did we listen? No, we didn't. I wanted to be cool. So that was the first time I'd ever had human hair on my head, ever. So I get it sewn in now because at that time, everybody was getting like weave sewn into their head. So it was a wig that I got sewn onto my head. And when I went to sleep, I had this dream where I was on my knees and I was praying. And as I was praying, my words were going up. I could see them like letters. They were going up, but they were hitting like a glass ceiling type of a thing. But then they would fall down. They would like bounce down. And I was wondering in the dream, why my prayers weren't going up to God, to heaven. Excuse me. And then in that dream, I looked to the side and there was an angel standing there. And I looked up and I said, why aren't my prayers going up? And then he pointed at my head. And when he pointed at my head in the dream, it's like I came out of my body and I looked at my head and there was like a gremlin creature, like sitting on my head, like on the top of my head. Did I pay attention to that dream? No, I didn't. I was like, ooh, how weird. Years later, when I'm now doing the research and I'm now reading how the scripture explains that our prayers literally travel up to heaven like sweet incense before the Lord, like it's written in Revelation, when I'm reading different scriptures that explain that prayers actually travel up to God for him to hear them, and the fact that a lot of prayers are being like there's an obstacle because there is literal spiritual interference, okay? So, yeah. So if you're struggling with your prayer life, maybe throw away the weave. Alicia, can you sit down, please? I have my daughter on set with me today. So next, interference with personal energy. With personal energy. Again, this is like occultic beliefs around having objects that are associated to deities. So some occultic texts or occult texts emphasize the importance of personal energy and spiritual protection. Now, items dedicated to foreign gods or deities may interfere with your personal energy field, or how they explain it as an energetic field. So you know how, you know, in some spiritualities, they talk about chakras and your aura and how your aura has different colors and things like this. That is the energetic field that can become, in their terms, contaminated by these objects, especially because you're putting them, like if we take the whole chakra perspective, you're putting it on your crown chakra. And your crown chakra is the place of enlightenment. That's where, to them, what they teach is the kundalini rises up at the back and the serpent face opens up for you to reach enlightenment. Now you have this thing, this other thing there, right there. It's going to interfere with that energetic field. Okay, in Christianity, let's take it back to Christianity real quick. And I was talking to James about this just before, and he was reminding me how, Solomon, who is it? Samson, the strongest man, mighty man, Samson. The situation where God told his parents, do not let a razor ever touch his head. Do not let a razor ever touch his head. And that is where his strength came from. His strength came from his head. Another situation with Samuel. It was Samuel, right? Prophet Samuel. His mother promised the Lord that a razor would never touch his head. So we have multiple instances. And is it even the Nazarene vow? Nazarite vow. That they were not allowed to cut their hair. These men were not allowed to cut their hair. So even in Christianity, you have this whole teaching that God values your hair. God values your hair. This interference can manifest as a sense of spiritually drained, disconnected, or experiencing obstacles in one's magical or spiritual practices. Now, of course, if you're a Christian, there should be no magical practices going on. But there should be some spiritual practices going on. So if you are trying to fast, which is a spiritual practice, if you are trying to pray, if you're trying to read your Bible, and every single time you feel drained, you feel tired, you feel like you don't have energy for those things, you start getting a headache, you start feeling sleepy, this is what it's talking about. This is what it's talking about. Karmic repercussions. Karmic repercussions. I was going to skip over this when I was writing these notes, but something was just like, keep it in. So we're going to touch on it and I'm going to explain why I kept it in. Some occult traditions teach the concept of karma or the law of cause and effect, possessing items dedicated to gods that one does not serve may be seen as a violation of a spiritual principle or cosmic law leading to karmic repercussions. Now, one way that I want us to kind of think about this is when I was talking about the whole idea, let me just go back to where I was, excuse me. When I touched on the idea that some of the way that this hair is gotten is not ethical. Some people, their hair is being robbed in the street, it's being cut off whilst they're walking. Some people are robbing graves and shaving the head of dead people to get this hair because it's so expensive and because it makes so much money when it is sold. If you have hair that has gotten in this way, then of course you'll be experiencing something like what they're talking about in terms of karma. You would not be having peace because that person will be distressed, will be crying out. If it's a dead person, you know how we say rest in peace? They're not resting in peace. They were robbed. They were robbed. Yeah, so the karma that's associated. So again, just touching on this idea of if the hair was gotten, fair enough, it wasn't sacrificed, but let's say it was gotten in these ways that leave these people feeling robbed and sad and angry and frustrated, there will be a repercussion spiritually to that. That energy will literally transfer through. So if this is what you're facing, you may feel off balance. You may be going through a lot of challenges and setbacks and negative experiences in your life that you cannot connect as to why it's happening. If you're really religious now, you'll be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm facing spiritual warfare. And then do you know what you'll do? You'll go to an all-night prayer, you'll bring that hair along, and you will start to pray in tongues and pray that the Lord opens up every door. Meanwhile, you're facing karma, you're facing backlash because of what you are carrying, because of what you paid for, essentially. So just keeping that in mind. Another one is psychological effects. The psychological effects to having these items around you. You may feel a lot of guilt that you don't understand why you feel. You may feel a lot of guilt that you don't understand why you feel, a lot of anxiety, a lot of confusion, and it can really affect your mental health and your emotions. Like I said before, having all these mood swings and trying to say that they're because of this and this and this and this. Meanwhile, there's a spiritual problem here that is making you feel uncomfortable. If you watched the previous podcast, just before this one, then you would have seen me talk about how demons can actually have an effect on your spirituality. They can have an effect on your emotions. They can either really heighten them or sometimes make you feel numb for whatever reason that they're doing it, which is why you always pray about how you feel. Even now, the next one, demonic influence, right? So demonic influence, remember we're saying that all of these spirits are demons, all of these spirits, all of these idols are demons. Now, having some of these in your house can affect your life, resulting in spiritual oppression, harassment, or negative experiences. Spiritual oppression, harassment, or other negative experiences. So we're talking about consistent bad dreams, not understanding why you feel like you're hearing things or you're seeing things, you don't know what's happening. Situations where people see shadows at the corner of the room and they're just running about. Like you, all of these things, they mean something. You have an object that belongs to something in the spiritual realm. And you're trying to forcibly give it to Jesus to make it clean because you want to wear it and he's not accepting it. So you have an open door in your life. You have an open door in your life. If you will not go to somebody's house who has an altar to a deity or a god or eat that food, then in no way wear that thing as part of your outfit every day on the most spiritually sensitive part of your body. The most spiritually sensitive part of your body, okay? Now, the Christian perspective on the dangers of having these items in your house and specifically on your body, on your head of all places. You have manifestations of spiritual oppression and influence. So these signs, right, you can have some unexplained feelings of fear and anxiety and this feeling of darkness that's always following you. And the signs of this influence can be sudden changes in your behavior, reoccurring nightmares, and unexplained physical ailments. People who are consistently sick. You're sick, you're sick, you're sick. You go for prayer, you're still sick. You go to the hospital, you're still sick. Maybe, and this is just a maybe, if this is you and this is what you're dealing with, try, and you own weave, try throw it away. Why not? You've tried going to the hospital, you've tried this, you've tried that. Now just try this, right? And if it doesn't work, hey, I guess you can always buy another one, but try it and see exactly if that could be it. Negative spiritual atmosphere, especially in the home. One thing that happened to me again, when I was leaving witchcraft, when I had to now consecrate my house and pray over my home from all the things that happened, I threw away all the candles, I threw away all the sigils, I threw away all of these things, I threw away the altar, all of it. But I still had weird things happening in my home. I still had weird presences in my home. I was still seeing phenomena that even my daughter was experiencing in the house. And you know what stopped it? Throwing away the hair. Because whether I like it or not, there was still something that belonged to someone other than Jesus Christ in my house. Do you understand? Cool, cool. Now, if this is you, if this is you having a spiritual atmosphere, then in your own house, you can have these feelings of heaviness, unexplained heaviness. You turn on the lights, you open the windows, you play the spiritual music, you pray, you play the Bible, but there's just this dense atmosphere in the home. You feel uncomfortable, unease, and you feel weird things, like someone is watching you in your house. That's another thing that can happen if you have these things in your home. Unexplained occurrences and supernatural phenomena, right? Objects moving on their own, hearing strange noises, experiencing inexplicable disturbances in the environment. Another one, disorientation of mental and emotional and physical health. Signs, you'll have signs of spiritual bondage, of oppression, manifesting as depression or as addiction, as self-destructive behavior or chronic illness. I want to, you know, there's so many things I want to go into, but I don't think that we'll have time today in this episode. If you want a part two, then please comment down below part two with the fire emoji, right? That's the only way I'm going to listen to it. Part two with the fire emoji. And then we can kind of touch on this in a deeper way. But last but not least, and I think this is the most important one, is a disruption of spiritual growth and your relationship with God. And this can manifest as a lack of spiritual discernment. Man, you pray all the time, Lord, show me who's for me, show me who's against me, show me the truth in my life, show me this, show me that. Lord, I'm confused about where I'm going, I'm confused about my future, I'm confused about my past, I'm confused if this man is for me or against me. Like, you're confused about everything. You don't have discernment because that temple, that part of you, which is one of the most important parts, is full of confusion because you have something on it that does not belong to the Lord. So these are some of the things you'll face: spiritual dryness and the inability to connect to God through prayer and worship. Now, there's a part here where I was going to talk about legal rights, because I know when we speak about deliverance or people being delivered and things like this, there's this idea that what doors in your life are open that demons can be coming in by, or spirits may come in by to harass you or to oppress you, or all of these things. And one of the main things that people never touch on, well, they do touch on what is in your home that does not belong to the Lord if people used to practice witchcraft, but rarely do people say, please get rid of that weave, sis. Please throw that thing in the garbage. Don't go sell it, throw it away. I'm going to read to you some of the polytheistic beliefs. So a lot of pagan people who do like paganism and stuff, they believe that there's a strong association between magical objects and the presence of deities and spirits. So in these traditions, offerings made to deities or spirits often is seen as an invitation of their presence. So if I give this water to a deity, wherever I put that water, that deity is also allowed there. So in the same way, when that hair is sacrificed to that person, spiritually, they have a legal right to be in your house. Spiritually, they're allowed to be in your presence. Why? Because that belongs to them. And God is not accepting it because he's already told you, don't take anything that belongs to any other spirit, any other God, and try and give it to me because I won't accept it. It says, do not worship the Lord in the way that the other nations worship their God, thinking that it will be acceptable to him because he does not want it. Okay? So Some practitioners believe that that deity or spirit has the right to appear wherever the offering has been made in their honor or wherever the thing that has been made is. Now, New Age and occultic beliefs or occult beliefs in the New Age spirituality, which is what a lot of people and a lot of Christians are in, but they don't realize this manifestation space, this crystal space, this tarot card space, this, what's that thing called? Sage for good energy, all that type of stuff, this, some of the evil eye things that are coming in now, that's the space that it's in. Now, they have this belief of things like sympathetic magic, where physical objects or actions have a direct influence on spiritual or supernatural forces. So again, whatever you put in your space, spirits are allowed to come in because of that connection between the thing and the spirit. So what is the conclusion? And how do we summarize all of this? The conclusion is this. Number one, if everything I've said here today has touched you, has opened your eyes, you feel like, in fact, you are dealing with some of the things that I mentioned, do not sell your hair. I'm even going to put a video in here of all the hair pieces. I spent thousands of pounds. Pardon me. I used to make and sell wigs for people. I spent thousands of pounds collecting all these different color hair and length hair and all these type of things. I could not sell it because I'm giving that burden to somebody else. Throw it away. Burn it, even the same way that the people in Acts did, or their magical books. Burn it, throw it away, and then repent and ask God for strength and ask Him for confidence. Because another big thing, which I was going to touch on today, but I don't think we have time, this idea that a lot of us have grown up kind of only seeing that we are beautiful when we wear hair that looks like the hair of other nations. When we have long, straight hair, curly hair, this type of hair, but never our own, never the rough, coarse, coily afros and things like this. So there needs to be some type of deep healing of your own identity and coming to grips with who you are and the fact that how you are is so beautiful and will connect to the right people. What came to my mind is one time I heard this female pastor, I guess that's what you call them, right? But she's still a pastor, I guess, or preacher rather. And she was talking about the fact that there's no point in wearing your natural hair. If you want to look beautiful, go get yourself a nice weave. It doesn't matter what you like. And it's just crazy that these people have, they have platforms and they have people that follow them and people that call them righteous and holy. Meanwhile, they're literally telling you the way that God made you, it doesn't matter if you don't like it. What is that? It doesn't matter if you want to cover it up with something that you deem as more beautiful than He deemed. Who is your God? And what standard do you live by? If you truly live by His standard, then understand that the way, the thing that He gave you is beautiful enough. You don't need to get somebody else to shave theirs and give it to you, okay? So ask Him for strength, ask Him for confidence, ask Him for confidence. And for those of you who are still stubborn, at the end of this, I'm just going to read you 1 Samuel 15:23. Because why not? I like the smoke. And it says, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king. Remember, this is Saul's situation, where God told him, I'm not interested in anything, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how amazing it is. If it has been dedicated to an idol, I'm not interested. But he thought he knew better. So he was practicing idolatry. So he was practicing witchcraft and did not know it. In the same way, a lot of us are doing this because we think that we know better. Again, I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what your female leader of your youth committee says. I care what the scripture says. I care what the Lord says. And you should care about it too. And overall, I have seen both sides. I have seen what things that are dedicated to idols can do to somebody, especially if that person is not in line with the same idol. And you can play with it if you want as a Christian, but you will always live in the consequences of having something that does not belong to Jehovah in your life. That is completely up to you. But for you guys that have decided that you're going to do something about this, you want to take this into prayer, please allow me to pray for you first, okay? Let me just do a prayer for those of you. If you're interested, please bow your head. Lord, I thank you so much for everybody that has listened to this video, that has listened to this podcast. We know that it has been hard. We know that it is a bitter pill to swallow sometimes when we find out that the way that we have been living may not be in accordance to what you want. But I pray right now that may you give every woman here confidence in herself. I pray that may you open up eyes. I pray that if this is truly from you, and they found this video because it was your time for them to find it, may you confirm every word that I have said. And may you show them indeed, if in fact you want them to listen to this, may it not just be my word, but may it also be the conviction of the Holy Spirit that even if they try to forget, may they remember. May they remember this word in the name of Jesus. I pray that may you begin to change their hearts and their psychology on themselves and how they look in the name of Jesus. I pray this. Amen. Now, thank you guys for joining me on another amazing, I hope, podcast episode. I look forward to seeing you guys next podcast. Again, if there's anybody that you want to nominate as Misfit of the Week, then please do that so we can give them a shout out for the reason that you think that they are inspirational. Send them a £20 to say, we see you, keep shining. And yes, please don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel and show me some support in the comment section below if you are enjoying this episode. Also, real quick, if you like what we're doing over here on the Misfit side and want to support, then you can actually by donating and showing us some financial support so we can keep pumping out these amazing videos for you guys. Again, with the love of Christ, I say goodbye and I'll see you next time. Bye.